Okay. Let's take just a moment and close your eyes and realize where you are. Mountains. The mountains that the Almighty spoke to. Thus says the Lord. To the mountains, the hills, the ravines, the valleys, and to the waste places. For you have come, as the prophets have said and foretold. For such a time as this, we are gathered here. We thank you that you gave us our Redeemer. We sold our birthrights. We sold the land. We gave everything away, like the prodigal son. And I thank you, Father, that you have forgiven us and you are drawing us by your love, a great love and mercy. Oh, Abba, to be here at this time, just to dwell on you and your heart. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Bnei Yosef, thus says Yahweh Elohim, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh, declares Yahweh Elohim, when I prove myself holy in you, in theirs. For I will come the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your Elohim.
I see. Right to my doorway. Oh, yeah. here at this Congress must remember, great is his name.
Okay.
He is not doing this for our namesake. He's doing it for his namesake. Now please let's keep that in mind, even though you're wearing your name. And I'm sorry you can't. It's not about Texas. It's about Yeshua and the very heart of our Father. You ever think of Yeshua being the very heart of our Father? The very manifestation of his love. But we found out these last few days that that's what he wants from this Congress. If we're going to build anything, it has to be built upon his love. And so I think if anyone hasn't yet experienced being loved on by our Heavenly Father, I would suggest to raise your hand and you'll have 135 people laying their hands on you, because it's all about his love. And this is what we want this Congress to be. We want to come out of this Congress's family. This is not an organization of some kind. This is about his people. Probably Hebrew must be talking to us. But I want to welcome you, all of you. And I know you're here because he wants you to be here. Absolutely. He has brought his presence in you to be on the mountains of Israel. He brought you to be here to experience his word, like that first song. I see the finger and the voice. Our ancestors said, they heard it, right? They said that they were due to hear from you. See? We're a generation that's extremely privileged to be here. And we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fact that our Heavenly Father reconciled us back to himself while we were yet in the same condition as our forefathers. We might look back at history and think, oh, they were idol worshippers. You know how many idols we have in our life today? We have far more than what they do. We don't only have silver and wooden, we now have plastic. This is the age of plastic. And the civilization of our age has bowed down to the works of our own hands. And even though our ancestors carved out wood, you know, carved out images from wood, like Jeremiah kind of chided them. Well, you take one part of the wood, right? Chisel out the image. It has no ears, no eyes, no mouth, no mouth, no life, no breath. And then on the other part, you throw up the fire, cook your food. This is the problem. That we decide what our idols are. It could be an image, right? It could be some image. It even can be kippot, tzitzit. It can even be the feast days. It can even be the Torah. You ever think of that? That book doesn't have eyes, nose, or mouth. We make it what we want to make it. And then we fight over one another as to who's right and who's wrong. It's about the living Elohim. And the other day, one of the brothers made mention But in their fellowship, they don't care how you pronounce the name. They don't care how many calendars you have. They don't care whether your tzitzit are 5 centimeters or inches long, or 12. How many twists, how many strings, and the color. They don't care. They do care that the people that come are loved. That's what that congregation experiences. And that's what we have to be. And many, many will be drawn. Because the Father is drawing the lost tribes of Israel. But he's first drawing them to himself and to his heart. So that we will love one another as we are loved. And this is what we've experienced the last 3 or 4 days here. When Joshua brought the children of Israel across, they came across as one man. And because we have his presence within us, we are like the Mishkan. Do you know what the Mishkan is? They call it a tabernacle, but that's at Sukkot. The Mishkan is at Shavuot. That's what was built. Because with skin. Skin? Do you have his presence in you? You make up this glorious tabernacle. Some of you didn't see the tabernacle here. I mean the Mishkan. It's right out here. Full-size Mishkan. And the group that didn't see it last night will see it tonight, right after the meeting, that will gather out right out the door by the swimming pool and go up into the area of your garden and then down by the Mishkan. So we'll do that a bit later. But we are the Mishkan. All of us did. And we're also the priesthood. And that makes us extremely responsible for the rest of the tribes that don't even know who they are. We're responsible for them. Do you know how responsible the priesthood was, the work back then? It says, if they were in their righteous garments, and if they were walking righteously before the Father, they protected the rest from the wrath of God. The Lord just showed me that a few weeks ago, when I asked him, can you give me an example? And he said, yeah, your forefather, Abraham. When he asked him about whether there's 10 righteous, I will say to Sodom and Gomorrah. If we will walk in his righteousness, his wrath will not fall on your nation. You understand what our responsibility is? It's not about us. It's about him. And it's about our love for the rest of our brethren out there that may be still sitting in a church meeting like you are. Or in a Messianic congregation, or a charismatic congregation. He wants our heart. And he wants it filled with his Torah. His Torah is love. The fullness of love is the completion of Torah. It's everything towards God. And this is what we're here right now. This place, at this time, when the Father spoke to you months ago, in some way you heard about this Congress, it isn't about Friday or Ramona. He only allowed us to facilitate and to, it's not about Hanukkah, not about Al. But when you heard it, did your heart jump?
Yes.
Did something inside of you leap? If it did, you won't have any agendas here. you're going to only want to meet him. And he's allowing you to meet him in the persons sitting next to you. He's going to meet you face to face in reality here at this Congress. He's going to fellowship with you heart to heart in one another. And when you leave this, when you get through this, when you come through this time, and you go back to the places where you come from, you'll have a heart. You'll see the people that knew you will not know you like they knew you before you left. If you experience his heart during this time, he loves this land. It is a holy, consecrated place. He set it apart. He set it for us. And it will love. This is how his kingdom is going to manifest. This is how his kingdom is coming. Because it's coming through us, through the rock of Kodesh, through the Spirit. What did Paul say? What did Paul say? Romans 14? That the kingdom of the Elohim is righteousness, peace, joy in the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the kingdom. It's his rulership over your heart. And I say, if you have any strife or contention, Paul says you are enemies. But the point is, if there's any conflict here, there needs to be reconciled. If there's something in your heart that you have off against your brother, the Father doesn't want, he wants your gift. All of us have received giftings from the Ruach HaKodesh. He says to leave your gift and everything that I've given you through the Ruach, leave it at the altar and go back and be reconciled. He will not anoint you. He won't anoint your ministry. He won't anoint your giftings. If you have fought against the brother, if you've been offended, what do you do if you've been offended? You know what offense? When somebody receives an offense and you have a very strong reaction to it, you know what that is? Pride and self-righteousness. Because you'll always try to be justified. And we have been justified through the death of Yeshua. These are heart matters. And the heart matters to the Father because it is in you. And all together in oneness. Our hearts are joined in this oneness. So I do welcome you in his name. I want you to be blessed while you're here. But the blessing can only come when we walk in righteousness. Sin is never blessed. If no blessing I ever found it, maybe I could ask Frank or Mike Clayton, right? If that's true, if they ever found something that Father blessed, sin, they ever blessed sin in the Bible, if there's any record of that, I don't know. I don't know anybody that's found the scripture. But we're here for such a time as this, as family. He has restored us. We were out with the pig sides. You know, I thought I was so smart, I wrote a book called Firstborn Factor, the Plan of Redemption, and it's back there, and it says, if you take a copy, please put a donation in for the orphans and widows. But I missed one of the most important examples in the scripture. Mike and I were talking this morning. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was blown over. And we've talked about the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, his brother staying home, and, you know, and the prodigal son comes home, the brother doesn't like it. But who is the firstborn? The older brother. He's the firstborn, and he's the redeemer. That's Judah. And when Mike says to me, you know, that the prodigal son sold his inheritance, and it's only in the power of the older brother, who is the redeemer, to allow that inheritance to come back to the younger brother. I was like, whoa. It's up to our older brother to redeem that which belongs to us. It used to belong to us. That is a principle, very important principle in Scripture. The rights of a redeemer. We just celebrated Shavuot. And the story that they read here is the book of Ruth, about a kinsman redeemer. We say, well, Yeshua is our kinsman redeemer. Yeah, he redeemed us back to the Father in our hearts and restored our remembrance of who we are. But in Zechariah 10, it tells us where our territories are. It actually tells us it's Lebanon, Bashan, Gilead. But those territories still have to be taken. Who's going to do that? The older brother. Do you think it pays to give honor to your older brother? Do you think it's important to love him, to support him? The Jewish people are your redeemers. Your older brother is your redeemer here in the natural. And that's why it's so important that we understand our relationship with the older brother and why in that glory, the prodigal son, his problem was not with his brother returning home. His brother was his problem was with his father. Because his father ran out to embrace you. And you got a big hug from Abba. But the older brother thinks, man, when I was out in the nation, he didn't treat me very well. I was holding up the Torah in front of you, and you rebelled against it. And so we have to repent. And I know that most of you went on tour this morning to Shiloh. I don't know what you experienced there today. But I have a feeling it was a heart matter for some of you. We touched the deep of our ancestry. And I trust that that place, when you looked at only the rocks, the Mishkan was there, everything was in a fire. The mountains in a fire. So what happened? We're here for repentance. Purposes. If you get touched in your heart and you need to repent, there's a huge swimming pool out there that you can jump into as a mikvah. There's a whole lot of people that will pray his love and forgiveness into your heart. So I hope this is what we'll do this time. Is it just love on one another and see what happens? Get to know one another. I was able to succeed in making name tags on my computer. That's how I was asked today about a couple days ago about some technical things. And I just said, all I know how to do is milk cows. So, hope that helps. Benny, I really, really appreciate all of you very, very much. And hope to get to know some of you. If I'm not running around, stop me. Please slow up. Knock on my head and say, can I have your attention, please? But I know Ramon and I love you. And Ramon,
I'll say once again, what I said to the first group that came here, and that is Shalom Mishpacha.
Shalom. Let's say that again. Shalom.
Shalom Mishpacha.
You who have been redeemed, you who have had mercy shed upon you, you who have been turned from Lo Chama to Ohama. I was sitting here while a friend was talking, and I was wondering if Abba is going to show us at which phase and at which stage we all are of becoming from Lo Ami to Ami. My people, my nation. You all know yourselves as Lo Ami, and now we're kind of trying to explore where we're at in relationship to becoming Ami. And all these wonderful and spiritual things that Brian has talked about, and I'm not saying it cynically, now we have an opportunity to enter a laboratory, an experiment, to see how much of those deep spiritual things we'll be able to express, not by much music, blowing the shofar, or praying. We, of course, will do all of these things, but by sitting tomorrow and the day after around these tables, having discussions on practical things. Now, that's going to be an experiment. That's going to be quite revealing. I don't know how many of you have had spiritual experiences, depth of experiences of love and everything else that goes with it while engaging in business of some sort. So we will have an opportunity to enter and to engage in something maybe different for most of us. And I'm really looking forward to see what the yield is going to be. Some have written to us or spoken to us about Entuvia, the hotel manager, also said, well, maybe we can have an annual Shavuot Congress here, or conference, or whatever. If there is no fruit, if this does not yield something that will take us a little bit further, a deeper, long journey, we do not want to have an annual Congress, an annual conference, an annual gathering. This is not about repeating same old, same old, same old. So let us be in expectancy for our Abba to begin to do something, take us somewhere new on this journey, all of us. So good and blessed you.
We have our gifted. With some, as you already experienced, some very blessed music ministries. And we've enjoyed it immensely. And when we made out the schedule, you know, we thought, well, let's concentrate more on, like the woman said, let's just get down to business and start talking about go from congregations to communities. You know, one of the things that motivated us. And I really thank Hanuk, well, you all met him today already, for the sort of like a kick in the pants, and he continues to be a kick in the pants. But you know what? I've never had a kick in the pants with so much love behind him. He just had a foot that's very large when it comes to love. He says it as it is, and you will hear him say it as it is. He will come from his perspective, if you haven't already experienced that. And we were thoroughly prodded to do something. Because this movement has so many divisions. And we were looking at it and listening and hearing and just kind of sitting, because we're here alone practically in the land. We have a small group in Jerusalem that we meet with when our dear friends Lars and Vivica are here. They, oh, there you are, Lars Vivica, hello. From Sweden. Ariel's standing there over there. He is another one that's been with us for a number of years and comes faithfully on Wednesday nights. And Aria, he's sitting there also. He's a Messianic believer. And who else is one here? A couple others. James, Liz. We're very really blessed. And sometimes Sephora. Comes to the fellowship, and we were also Daniela from Finland when she was here for how many years? 4 years?
7 years.
7 years. She worked on a master's and PhD, and she is now working for TV7 in Finland, and now opening up the station in Sweden. So that's a great, there's a big voice out there for this restoration. There's a lot happening outside of the United States, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And,
what?
And I think, the fact that so many of you here, most of you, well, I haven't seen most of you, probably about maybe 65% of you from the United States. And we really want you to come to know the other brothers and sisters from other nations. And we will, and probably during this time, if we get the worship to ultimately find a place, because when these guys get going, boy, we just want to worship our Father in Yeshua. It's just great, you know, it's tremendous. But we want to really introduce you all. But there are communities here of leadership, of our communities, with some of the people that we want to honor. There, Georgina from Canada. Are you here, Georgina? She has been so faithful for many, many years, all by herself, in Ottawa, Canada, correct? Just plugging along, putting up with the churches, putting up with the Messianics, putting up with everybody. She just kept loving them all, pressing on that, even though they have very nice things to say about this woman. But she hung in there, and I think she deserves honor as you meet her. She's very blessed to know her for many years. And there are others also here that we will honor during this time. That have been really, really faithful intercessors. There's a number of you who have devoted your time and energies into interceding hours, not just like me. I get up in the morning, maybe we'll say some prayers. I mean, these people have anointed ministries. I know, like Constance Fisher, she does, and also Dorothy. I think it's your last name.
Fantuso.
And I'm sure there's others here as well, and that I could just rate. Who has intercessory ministries here? Who really has been called to intercession? I know Lars did it, but they go and walk the city up there.
Candy,
yes. Welcome. I didn't get to greet you, I don't think. Nice to meet you. This brother here from Sweden. Bergen.
Bergen.
Ben. welcome and really a blessing. I know you have some others from Sweden that came, and Germany's here, well represented. So we are really blessed. But I'd like to go, maybe I should just walk through the ones you can remember. Let me just see. The Sri Lankans. Sri Lanka? Sri Lankans? Where are you? Stand up, please. Sakiri,
dear friend,
with the two bodyguards, are here from their congregation. I wish we could have mics that go, but I see that these all have cords. So perhaps later we'll give people opportunities from the nations to share this evening. Then the Swedish group, would you please stand? I know there's several of you here. Then Germany. We have German. We knew that they
had to be someone from this country. I mean, it just took a lot of spiritual warfare. We just did everything we could to get a representative to pick their country. And lo and behold, I found him in the swimming pool this afternoon. A guy from France.
Illinois.
We miss any died in Colorado. What?
Kentucky.
Okay. You know, the problem is, in introducing Texas, they all want to be introduced individually. That's why it's called the Lone Star State. Okay, for the Texans, please stand up.
All the ages and sounds be revived.
and the promise that I am not dead, just love. So
I am waiting for. Thank you. just want to sing this song from the Father's heart over you.
Thank you.
looking at you all from the other side of the fence, so to speak, seeing your response to these words, I believe that he does mean what he's saying and what he promised. I tell you, to see as being from the other house, looking at all your faces and all your responses, and of the genuineness and the depth of your hearts, wow, how tremendous, how moving, how real. You're all here because you really believe this. You're all here because this is what he's doing. You're all here because you're so committed. I wish so many more of the Jewish people in this land could see this, could witness this, could find out about it. Surely many would believe this is happening. Just looking at you and just sensing what is coming forth from you, how absolutely tremendous and real that you are. Thank you.
Can everybody take a breath in? Now breathe out. We just pronounced his name.
Amen.
You know the Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's his name. Everybody thinks they know how to pronounce it. I'll teach you now how to pronounce it.
Maybe after dinner, because it's
come on, we're all going to go with the name, remember the name. You know, the yud is very short. And you have the hey, and then you have the long. You know that letters in the Hebrew language is music. So, how do you pronounce the hey? Right? Now pronounce the short, because that vowel, the yud is short. So, breathe in, you go. Breathe in. Now, you have the Bob, it's long. Now breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Okay. Remember that. Because if you stop saying his name, what's going to happen? We want you all around here all week. So just keep saying his name. Okay? But watch what be careful of the tongue, but the tongue can get the name in trouble. Okay, we're to meet over in the dining hall, 6:30.
It's now.
Which is right now.
No.
Rapture. See you all back here at 7.